Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship the risen Lord this day. Good morning. We're glad you have decided to join us for worship this morning here at First Baptist Elon. Thank you for those that are watching us this morning on Facebook Live, those that are listening to us via our website, www.fbc-elon.org. It is good to gather on the second Sunday of Easter. This is the season of Easter in the Christian church. It is a season where we are continuing to celebrate the risen Lord. Last Sunday, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, where we remember that the tomb was empty. The tomb is empty, and we continue to celebrate that the Christ is working, and He is continuing to work through us as we gather here this day. We are excited that you are gathering with your families, wherever you are, whether you're at home or at work, wherever you are listening to our worship service today. Thank you for joining us this morning. We are excited that we have the opportunity on this beautiful Sunday morning to worship in this place. So as we gather this morning, we want to encourage you to sing with us as we sing in our worship service this morning. We encourage you to follow along with us in Scripture as we read God's Word. We encourage you to follow along and participate as we have a responsive reading. The words will be on our screen behind us in just a few moments. But we also encourage you to pray with us and to listen to God's words this day. It is a day to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to worship the risen Lord this morning. This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 16. The words will be behind me on the screen. And also, you have an opportunity to follow along in your Bibles this morning. I want to encourage you to follow along with me this morning. So this morning, Psalm 16, reading from the NIV this morning. And like I said, the words will be up on the screen behind me. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my God. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cups. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I set the Lord always before me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. As we read this Psalm of David, we are reminded of the presence of God, how He is with us no matter what we are going through, no matter the fear or the fear that may be going through us at this time. So let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Bow with me this morning. Father God, Lord Jesus Christ, on this second Sunday of Easter this morning, the light of your love shines on. Your light has come into the world, and neither darkness nor evil nor even death itself could overcome it. And we, like Mary, like the disciples, like Thomas, who have been there with you through Holy Week and the first Easter morning, have been made witnesses to the resurrection story, wondering, bewildered, hoping, rejoicing, and sometimes even afraid. It's not always easy to believe with our minds and trust with our hearts. Loving Christ, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold the work of your redemption. Open our minds and our hearts to receive you, Lord, this day. Open our minds and hearts to receive you, your resurrection glory, your light everlasting. May this time of worship this morning, reflection and celebration, be a worthy response to your love and your sacrifice for us. Together we lift up this prayer. In Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, we pray this morning. Amen.
We're going to sing "In Christ Alone." And most of you know this by heart, and the words will be behind us. But let's stand and worship together. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I stand. They might get the words right. There in the ground his body lay, light in the world in darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost his grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, brought with the precious blood of Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, no threat of blood be from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
This morning, if you would join me in our responsive reading. The responsive reading will be on the wall behind me this morning. The very first slide it will be on the screen. Jerry, if you will, pull up the very first slide, advance it all the way back to the very first slide. Yep. Yeah, let's see. That will be, that's the second one, okay? Yep, there you go. That's it. All right. I'll read the first slide, and the second slide will be the one that you join with me in reading. Gay will be reading the second slide with you as well. You are our security, O Lord. We find refuge in you.
Everything that is good comes from you, Lord.
You give me guidance and make my heart glad.
You lead me on the path of life.
In your presence, there is fullness of joy.
In your kingdom, there is fulfillment forever. Amen.
Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. This morning, I wanted to give you an update just on some of the things going on here in the life of First Baptist Elon, and just kind of give you some highlights of some things that are going on, and just to kind of give you an update as we move forward, as we look ahead. And again, I wish I could tell you when we'll be able to
to gather back here as a congregation back here at FBC, and I can't give you that date. I wish I could this morning, but we're still praying and knowing that God is moving and God is moving us forward. But as we do continue to minister here at First Baptist Elon, I did want to just kind of give you an update of many of the things that are still going on, still ministering, and I'm excited to say that our Bible studies are continuing on Wednesday nights at 6:30. We continue to have our Philippians Bible study. That meets via Facebook Live. You can go on our church website, www.fbc-elon.org. Those Bible study guides are found there that you can click on those anytime and use those as a resource as we continue to look through the book of Philippians in the New Testament. You can go on Facebook Live as well at 6:30 on Wednesday nights and join us on that Bible study. Also on our Facebook page, you can go at any time and look at those videos that that we're doing each Wednesday night. Many of our adult Sunday school classes, some of our adult Sunday school classes are meeting on Sundays via Zoom, and they're, I know one class is meeting today at 11:15. I know another adult Sunday school class has been meeting on occasion as well via Zoom, so we're excited about those groups that are meeting. I know our other adult Sunday school classes are keeping in touch by phone and just checking in on each other and continuing to minister through prayer through their phone trees. So we're excited about that. I also wanted to let you know that the Sunday school literature that our Sunday school classes are using on a weekly basis, that literature is still coming to the church. And if any of the Sunday school classes want to are still wanting to get that literature and using it on their own, please let us know if you want to swing by the church and pick that literature up. We have that ready to be picked up at the door here in our church office. So do not hesitate. If you want to call the church and let us know that you're going to come by and pick it up during the week, we are ready to send that out and get that out to you. Many have already taken that opportunity to pick that up, the literature that you receive on a monthly basis, the devotionals. We have that material here at the church. Our youth consuming fire group is, we actually met this week via Zoom to just kind of hang out online, and our consuming fire group is going to get kicked back started tonight at 6 o'clock. So we're going to keep our studies going starting tonight at 6 p.m. and do that the next couple Sunday nights, and continuing our study that we've been doing. So we're excited about that getting started back tonight. Our children, Gay has been sending out resources through the season of Lent, especially during Easter, and she's continuing to be sending out resources for our children. Parents and stay in touch with, in tune for those items coming out for Gay, for our children and our families in the coming weeks during the springtime and until we're able to gather back together again. Our mission teams, our Joe's Diner teams, are continuing to go to the homeless shelter, preparing those meals in advance and going to deliver those to the homeless shelter. Unfortunately, we're not able to go inside the homeless shelter and serve those meals like we have in the past, but we're able to prepare those in advance and deliver those to the homeless shelter as they're taking needed precautions during this time. So thank you to those teams that have been preparing those the last 2 months, and that process will continue in the oncoming months as we move forward. You received an email this week from Janice about a new mission project through Mount Zion Baptist Association. They're collecting items for Alamance Regional Medical Center, items that are needed just to minister to those that are in the hospital, especially this time where people, specific residents in the hospital, individuals, patients in the hospital can't have family members come and stay with them and minister to their needs right now. They're trying to collect items and encouragement cards and books and items that puzzle books like Sudoku and crosswords and word searches and things like that. The Mount Zion Baptist Association are trying to collect items like that that can be delivered to ARMC. So if you're interested in participating in that mission project, feel free to collect those items. You can deliver them to the church. Those book items delivered to the church, we will make sure they get to the Mount Zion Baptist Association, make sure they get to the hospital. If you're willing to fill out encouragement or get well cards to any resident, it could be just a general encouragement or get well card to a patient. Fill that out like you would be writing it to any patient, and you can drop that off by here to the church, and we'll be willing to address it and mail it to the hospital, or you can address it as well. Janice sent the address in that email this week. You're welcome to go ahead and address it and send it to the hospital, and they'll be delivering it to any patient that may need a word of encouragement or a get well card. That's one ministry item that you can do during this time as well. Something else that I did want to let you know, in the coming weeks, church council and the VLT and our deacons will be meeting virtually, just to kind of get some ideas together as we continue to move forward, as we start planning for the next couple weeks and months of ministering and continuing to minister. So just be aware of that those ministry teams and those planning teams will be getting together in the next couple weeks virtually, as we start continuing to plan and look forward and look ahead in the next couple weeks. I want to give a special shout out and thank you to our deacons who are continuing to stay in touch with our deacon families to meet those needs. If you know of a need in our church family that you are aware of, if you are in need of something, please do not hesitate to contact us here at the church. We are here to meet those needs. Don't wait for that phone call if there is a need that you are aware of. Please let us know, because we are here to meet that need for you right now at any time. So don't hesitate to call and let us know. I also want to give a shout out to my co-minister back here, Gay. Gay is a prayer warrior, and she has been on the phone all the time. Sometimes it's hard to talk to Gay because she's on the phone so much. She has been making phone calls to our church members over and over and over again, and she is reaching out and staying in touch with our church members, and I just want to give a special shout out to her for all her numerous hours of phone calls in the past couple weeks as she continues to minister and stay in touch with each of you. So a special thank you to Gay for all her hard work in keeping in touch with our church families. We are trying to continue to minister in this time, and again, we can't wait. We are excited. Gay and I have been talking about this. We can't wait to see these pews full again, because we know it's coming. We know we are closer. We're getting closer, but we don't know when that day is coming. But we pray that it will be sooner rather than later. But until that time comes, we know that God's ministry continues to be done here at First Baptist Elon, and we are excited to know that God's work is continuing to be done, because the body of Christ, the church is not the building. The church is the body of Christ. The church is you. The church is us, because that's what God challenges us to be. And we'll continue to work, and we'll continue to minister in His name as we move forward. Thank you.
One other thing I'd like to add is this week I'm hoping to try to start a Zoom with our choir members and our handbell players. So be looking for our email for that. And I just want to say I miss you guys.
Yes,
and David misses y'all too. And it is... I just can't wait to see you in person. I just wanted to say that. It is my honor and my pleasure to introduce you to you, our piano player, our new pianist. And she is not, I think she is going to come forward, and so y'all can put a name and a face together. Her Bertil Powers is our new pianist, and I think she's going to come forward so y'all can put a name and a face together here. This is Bertil, and she lives in Gibsonville, and so just right around the corner, and she is from Connecticut, but she's been in North Carolina for several years now. She came from Tell us where you came from.
I can't remember.
Ruffton, Rutherford County. But I'm delighted to be here, and I really look forward to seeing you all and meeting everybody. I've met a few people as we've gone along with solos and duets and so forth, but I'm really anxious to see all these pews filled up.
Amen. And she's going to bring us some special music now. So sit back and enjoy.
Would you pray with me? Father, sometimes coming after Resurrection Sunday, we have the tendency to leave the empty tomb and forget it. Father, I ask that as we come this morning, that if we've left the empty tomb for next year, if we've already forgotten the risen Lord and the excitement of what that tomb, empty tomb, means, if we've already forgotten the changed life that resurrection means, that changed life of what that life-changing, world-changing event means, those life-changing, world-changing words meant, Father, we come to you and say we're sorry. And Father, we come to you this morning confessing that if we have not come to you this morning and this Sunday morning with the same excitement that we brought last Sunday, that we apologize. Because this is the season of Easter, and every Sunday we are called to bring that same excitement, because the Lord is still risen, not just last Sunday, but this Sunday too. And Father, where we fall short, we come to you this morning and say, we're sorry. Father, where I've fallen short this week, I come to you and say, I'm sorry. But Father, I know that you're here, ready to meet me where I am. And for that, I say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Father, I ask that the words that I bring to you this day be your words. And Father, I ask that those that are listening this day may they hear your words. Prepare to be moved. Prepare to move us in a way that only you can. We lift this time up to you this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As the Christian church continues to celebrate the risen Lord during the season of Easter, and that's what this season is, sometimes we forget that. Easter is not, and Resurrection Sunday is not just one Sunday in the Christian calendar. The season of Easter is a season. It begins with Resurrection Sunday, but is a season that follows after Resurrection Sunday, and we are in that season. And so over the next few weeks, we will be looking at some of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. And so this morning and over the next couple weeks, I will be preaching a sermon series that I've titled Finding Christ in Unexpected Places. And so what we'll be looking at is seeing how Jesus encountered his disciples in some unexpected locations, behind locked doors, on the road, or even on the shoreline. And in each occurrence, he met the group of disciples, or a pair of disciples, or even one specific disciple, emotionally where they were. Now, in looking at each of the disciples' encounters, we will see what this might say to the disciples specifically. We're going to start there, but what it might say for us. Specifically, three questions each week we're going to be asking. And the first question is this: who are we without the risen Lord? The second question we're going to ask is this: what does the risen Lord have to offer us? And then the third question is, what are we able to do with the risen Lord's offering? What he has to offer us, what are we able to do with it? Now, I hope you will join with me over the next couple weeks as we look at these encounters and as we find Christ in these unexpected places. Now for this week, we're going to talk about a location that we oftentimes don't like to admit that we've been to before. You see, fear can be a powerful emotion in a person's life. I can think back over my 42 years of life and can think of just a couple of occasions where fear has taken over my life. Now, make sure you hear me right, that fear has taken over. Now, I have been afraid a lot. See, there is a clear difference between fear and being afraid. Let me give you an example to define the difference. I may be afraid of snakes, but I get an amen from the four people that are in here this morning. I may be afraid of snakes, but I'm still willing to go outside. I'm still willing to be in my yard, and it doesn't change my behavior in any way, my day-to-day behavior. However, being afraid turns into fear when I am no longer willing to go outside. I pave my entire backyard, and any sign of a snake, I move to Iceland. See the difference? Being afraid and living in fear. We lose purpose and direction because our focus has been lost and placed on something else. In this example, the focus was placed on snakes. Martin Luther, the great theologian, made this statement about fear in a series of talks he titled Table Talks about fear. He said this: God and the devil take opposite tactics in regards to fear. The Lord first allows us to become afraid, that is, he might relieve our fears and then comforts us. Let me repeat that. The Lord first allows us to become afraid that he might relieve our fears and then comfort us. Now, the devil, on the other hand, first makes us feel secure in our pride and our sin that we might later be overwhelmed with fear and despair. Now, you may be wondering why I am opening my sermon this morning talking about snakes, backyard, Iceland, and fear. The fact is, I did mow my grass this weekend, my backyard, and I did happen to jump a snake when I was mowing my backyard. No, I did not stop going in my backyard this past weekend. I did not pave my backyard this past weekend. And no, I did not run and swim to Iceland. However, the first unexpected place we find Christ is with the disciples this morning and in my sermon series is in a location of fear. And that's in the Gospel of John. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want to encourage you to turn to the Gospel of John chapter 20. Now, the Gospel of John chapter 20, we're going to be reading verses 19 through 31, and Jerry's going to pull it up on the screen for me this morning. And as he pulls this up on the screen for me, most of the time when we read this passage, we oftentimes put our focus on the back half of this story. Because there is an occurrence in this passage where we focus on Jesus' encounter with the disciple Thomas. And I'm not going to ignore this encounter. We're going to actually talk about it in just a little bit. But I want to focus on the first five verses. Because what we're going to see is the first five verses define what really takes place here. Now, to set the scene for us, because last week we looked at the Gospel of Matthew's resurrection occurrence, to set the scene in the Gospel of John, what we have here is this. On the resurrection morning, in John's account, Mary Magdalene, Simon Peter, and the beloved disciple arrive at the tomb, and they find it empty. The two disciples, Simon Peter and the beloved disciple, they go in, find this tomb empty, and Mary Magdalene stays outside. Simon Peter and the beloved disciple, afterwards, they leave and go to return home. We can assume, we don't know this for a fact, but we can assume that basically they go to return home probably to tell the other disciples what had happened, that Jesus wasn't there. We don't know what their assumption was at this time, but Jesus wasn't there. Mary Magdalene, on the other hand, stays at the tomb and she weeps outside the tomb. As she's weeping outside the tomb, two angelic figures appear to her. And shortly after that, she encounters someone in that garden. She first thinks it's a gardener, someone who maintains the garden around the tomb, and then she realizes that it's Jesus. So she has this encounter with Jesus. Mary Magdalene then returns back to the town to tell the disciples that she has seen Jesus, her rabbi, the risen Lord. This brings us to our passage today, and reading from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Again, oftentimes when we read this passage, primary focus is placed on the second half of this scripture narrative, specifically Jesus' interactions with Thomas. Yes, we will touch on this interaction, and yes, it is a powerful encounter with Jesus and Thomas. But I want to focus on these first five verses with Jesus and the group of disciples. Simon and the beloved disciple had gone home, probably to spread the message to the other disciples about the tomb being empty. They did not know what this meant. Had the Jewish authorities done something with the body? Had Jesus risen from the dead like he had alluded to, but they really hadn't known what that meant during his teachings? If so, where was he? Mary Magdalene arrives a short time later to share with a group of disciples that she has seen the Lord, but they didn't believe him, or did they? But if he had risen from the dead, where was he now? What are we supposed to do with him? If he had risen from the dead and the Jewish leadership had found out, they were going to be really mad. And they were going to come after him again. You know they would. If they were going to come after him, they were going to come after them. Was Mary telling the truth? Are we in trouble? What are we going to do? Let's lock the doors. Again. This wasn't the first time they had locked the doors. That brings us to our first question that we have to ask ourselves, and the disciples had asked themselves, I'm sure, who are we without the risen Lord? Who were the disciples without the risen Lord? They were scared. But let's be completely honest, they were living in fear. That's how they had been living for some time. That's where they were at the beginning of this passage, but that's where they had been for months now. The Jewish leadership's constant pressure over the months had been building and building, and this had finally driven them to shutter the windows and lock the doors. When Jesus was taken from them, we can imagine that their doors had been locked for days since Jesus had been taken from them, since the traitor within their midst had turned him over. They could be next. The next time the doors opened, that could be the soldiers warning them. Fear. Fear. And now, hearing that Jesus' body was gone, Mary saying that she had seen him, that brings a new type of fear. A ghost? Could he really be alive? Thomas wasn't there with the disciples initially, but you can imagine his emotions were the exact same as the other disciples. We are not privy to know where he was. We don't know why he wasn't there with the disciples initially. Maybe he was running errands for the group. We don't know. But remember, even when Mary told the disciples about what she had seen, the disciples didn't believe her. So why do we always like to dump on Thomas for not believing? He simply had the same beliefs that the other disciples did. They had not believed because they had not seen. So Thomas was in the same boat as the other disciples, just he needed a more personal encounter, just like the disciples did. You know, maybe we can relate to Thomas. Maybe we can relate to the disciples as well. Now, the question we have to ask this morning is the same question the disciples asked. Who are we without the risen Lord? Afraid. Living in fear. Even with the risen Lord, the disciples had been living in fear. Maybe that is where we are right now. In the midst of this new world in which we are living in, maybe it starts out as being afraid initially, but maybe we are living in a state of fear. Maybe it's a medical diagnosis. Maybe it's a loss of a job. Maybe it's a struggle with depression. Maybe it's a battle with the unknown. Maybe it's a fear of a decision that has to be made. Whatever the fear might be, whatever the locked door we are sitting behind today, just like the disciples were on that resurrection Sunday night, whatever the fear that we might be holding on to, living with, struggling with today, I'm here to tell you the story is not over. That brings us to the second question. What does the risen Lord have to offer us today? Scripture tells us, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus knew that the disciples were experiencing, and he knew he had to meet them where they were. The disciples were afraid and living in fear, and Jesus brought them peace. peace. Mary Magdalene had stopped at the tomb and she was weeping. She was in sadness. And what did Jesus bring her? He brought her presence. He met her where she was. He comforted her. Jesus met the disciples where they were, in fear, behind shut doors. And the first words he says is, peace. He did not say, why are the doors closed? Why are they locked? What are you doing? But he says, peace. Peace. It's okay. I've got you. In the midst of what you are going through, I am bringing you peace. Jesus knew that the ministry the disciples were going to be undertaking in the months and the years to come was going to be challenging and daunting. And only through the peace of Christ would they be able to face the challenge with courage and compassion. He imparts this not weeks, months, years later. He imparts this on the same night of the resurrection. Resurrection night, he gives them peace. Now, when we read this passage, we like to gloss over that part. We like to jump to the Thomas encounter, but he gives them the very first word he says, peace be with you. Then Jesus reveals his hands and his side as a confirmation of who he was. But first, he offers peace. Jesus again repeats this offering again in verse 21 and gives the disciple their mission. I am sending you out. Don't stay behind these locked doors. I am giving you the Holy Spirit as well, and he breathes on them. And continue my ministry as you carry out the salvation throughout the world. But I give you peace. It doesn't stop there. A week later, in Jesus' encounter with Thomas later on, he too again repeats these words, peace be with you. He doesn't start with Thomas by saying, here's my hands, here's my side. He says, peace be with you again. Do you think it's important if the risen Lord repeats the same line three times? Peace be with you. Then he speaks to Thomas, and he stated and shows him what Thomas needed to see, the nail marks, his side. The risen Lord met Thomas where he was. He offered him his hands. He offered him his side. When Thomas received what he needed, when he saw it with his own eyes, when he felt it with his hands, Thomas's response is, my Lord and my God. Think about it when we're in those times of fear, those times of being afraid. Isn't Thomas's response sometimes how we start out? My Lord and my God, please help me. I am afraid. I am in fear. And guess what? Christ meets us where we are. He met Mary Magdalene where they were, where she was. He met the disciples where they were. He met Thomas where he was. In those times of being afraid and being overcome by fear, the risen Lord's simple presence brings us peace, but it doesn't stop there. He hears the cries of our heart. He hears the cries of our soul. Even when we think he's not even listening, he knows what we need to know. He knows what would be best for us. He knows the needs before we even know what we need. So what does he provide for us? First, he provides for us is peace through his presence. And then he provides whatever we need to meet the needs of the day. But that's not the last question. Because if that's all that Christ offers us, If that's all that Christ wants from us, we're missing the rest of the story. The third question is, what are we able to do with the offerings of the risen Lord? Because Jesus didn't stop there with the disciples. He didn't say, here's my peace, here's the Spirit, I'm good, you're good, you stay behind these locked doors, and I'm gone. He said, do something with it. What did the disciples do with the offering of peace and the Spirit that the risen Lord gave them that resurrection Sunday night? After that first encounter with the disciples, scriptures tell us that they gathered a week later in the same room. That's when he encountered Thomas, and we have this encounter of the second half of scripture. The Gospel of John records another post-resurrection appearance that we'll be talking about in a couple weeks around the Sea of Galilee. However, what we do know is that the disciples carry the mission of sharing the story of Christ and establishing churches across the Middle East throughout the first century. Many of these stories are recorded in the book of Acts and also in letters throughout the New Testament. But there's many stories that aren't recorded in the New Testament that we do know about because of the way the church exists today. The offering of the peace and the gifts of the Holy Spirit gave them the courage to face their fears, knowing that this was what was directed by God. This was a divine gift that no human fear could overcome. The fear that they carried was a human creation. The purpose that they carried was divine. Hear that again. The fear that was created was human. The purpose that they carried was divine. The fear that they carried was human. The gifts that they were given was divine. When we face the fears of today, may we be reminded that the offerings that we carried are from a divine, risen Lord. They are greater than anything on this earth. And when we walk through this world, we do not walk alone. Our companion is a divine companion, the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that we can face. There is nothing that we can face. There is no fear that we can face that can be overmatched or that can overcome us because we have a divine companion. So what can we do with the offerings of the risen Lord? Absolutely anything. So in closing today, I don't know what fear you are facing. For the disciples on Resurrection Sunday night, it was the loss of their leader. The mounting pressure of the Jewish leadership and not being sure what they were supposed to do next. But when the risen Lord arrived behind those locked doors, He gave them peace and the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, they had purpose, they had a plan, and they had courage to face the world with hope and direction. If your fear is the state of the world with this pandemic, the loss of a job, an economic struggle and downturn, depression, a medical issue, emotional, spiritual struggles, unanswered questions, or even just fear of the unknown, whatever locked door you are sitting behind today, know that the risen Lord that we celebrated last Sunday is the same risen Lord that we celebrate this Sunday, and He is ready to meet you where you are today. And the peace that He offers and that He brings will give you the courage to face any fear in a whole new way, simply by His presence. Are you ready to let Him do that this morning? Let the Spirit work in you this day. Let Him move in you in a whole new way. Receive the offerings that He is giving you this day. Receive those same offerings that He gave the disciples on that resurrection Sunday night. Christ is ready to meet you in that unexpected place, in that place of fear, right now. Let us pray. Father, we give You thanks for meeting us where we are. We give You thanks for that resurrection Sunday night where You met the disciples behind locked doors, and simply by meeting them and saying, "Peace be with you." You gave us a model of how You meet us when we are afraid, when we are living in fear, knowing that Your divine presence and the divine offerings of simply peace and the Spirit can allow us to challenge the struggles and the fears that we may be facing today. In this upside-down world in which we are living in, with the fears of tomorrow or the fears of today, Father, may we be ready to accept those offerings this day, whatever the struggle might be. Father, it is simply just being in Your presence that is enough. Father, for those that are struggling this day, I just ask that they open up to You. May they feel You. May they feel Your presence. May they accept that offering this day and every day. We give this day to You. We give this offering to You. We give this opportunity to You. Thank You for meeting us where we are. In the Lord's name we pray. In the risen Lord's name we pray this day. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is "Crown Him with Many Crowns."
Music dread is all.
as we go out in the world this day, be reminded that we do not go out alone, that we take the risen Lord with us, that the Holy Spirit walks with us, that we do not go in fear, because the presence of the Lord brings us peace this day and every day. May we go in peace this morning.